Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to Who Cares About the Rock Hall, a podcast about the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. I'm your host, Joe Quazala, the resident Rock Hall expert, and I'm coming to you solo because we got a special little remaster coming at ya. This episode is from June 7th, 2019, and it is about A Tribe Called Quest. We talk about that group with our buddy comedian Matt Bronger. Yes, this is back in the days of when we would just talk to our comedian friends about groups and artists. But, you know, Matt clearly, as you'll hear, loves this group, knows a lot about them, and it's a great discussion. So I hope you enjoy it. You'll have to put it in the context of, you know, 5 years ago almost. So we talk about things like, when will LL Cool J get in, and Jay-Z and Eminem are coming up, and all that kind of stuff. And we talk about maybe Tribe will get on a ballot. They are, of course, on the ballot this year, as they were last year. We do not believe that they are going to get in this year. Not really looking good for them, but we love Tribe Called Quest. This is a fun episode. I made sure the levels were a little bit more even, and, you know, I dropped in some new song clips, too. So I hope you enjoy this episode, a classic Who Cares About the Rock Hall episode. So, Tribe, I'm curious just what your connection is to that group.
I basically was in junior high, well, high school, as they kind of, like, eighth grade, ninth grade was when Tribe Called Quest, their first album, came out. Is that right? No. I was a sophomore in high school, their first album. But it was like the whole, De La Soul was freshman year, 3 Feet High and Rising, and that, to me, broke all the waters. I grew up in a neighborhood where I would hear hip hop coming from, you know, neighborhood houses, and would come over and like people would play music for you and like, well, who's this and stuff.
Did you grow up like, in the Bronx? Where did you grow up?
Portland, Oregon, in like kind of like Portland. A slightly blacker area of Portland, which is sounds like an oxymoron.
It really does.
Really is. Back then, there were more black people living there, but I remember like I would hear like the music of Blowfly like when I was very very young, which was like a rapping 70s superhero guy.
Okay.
And then, you know, got into I would go to this place called Second Avenue Records downtown, and whenever they just put all the hip hop stuff out, and we would just gobble it up, me and my friends. We just look at album covers and go, this guy looks crazy, let's buy it, or this guy looks hard, or like she looks, you know, cool or whatever. We just buy things. And to me, the native tongues, which were De La Soul, Tribe Called Quest, Jungle Brothers, were basically they were slagged as being like hippie rap, but they were produced. A lot of their stuff was produced by Prince Paul, who was like kind of a genius. In Tribe Called Quest had Shaheed Muhammad, excuse me, and Q-Tip, who were producing. Like, just the music was incredible, and it was it was very actualized, and you could tell these people's personalities. And it just hit me in the heart. Like, I love Tribe Called Quest was like my favorite rap group. I like the guys that were also like cartoony masculine, you know, like or smooth, like Big Daddy Kane or Rakim or EPMD. I was in love with those guys too. But Tribe Called Quest was a thing where it's like, oh, this is like I was about to say something as cliched as the rest of your life music, but it kind of is. It kind of is like it's. It was incredibly accessible without being any less cool, if that makes any sense.
Yes,
the guys who I knew that were like, all I listen to is rock, had a Tribe album. They were just like, yeah, but like it was, it's not even crossover appeal. It was just so good. And I loved jazz. I've always loved jazz. And so most of the stuff they sampled was very jazzy. And that was kind of where that whole thing kind of started. It was just a really exciting time for hip hop, the late 80s, early 90s, which is kind of where I came of age. So it's like, it's nostalgic for me, but it's also like odd. It, not for nothing is that the music you hear played the most in every fucking restaurant now. Like, you go to any kind of cool restaurant, it's just all that era. All that era, like what you call old school hip hop, which it, technically it isn't, but for this era, it is.
Yeah, it has.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to be that nerd that's like, oh, look, actually, the actual old school era ended with, you know, Grandmaster Flash. It's just like, man, I'm not going to fight it. But,
right, yeah.
But yeah, they were just awesome, and their voices were great and great rappers, and the music was mm-hmm. incredible.
And when they came around, it was different from like the kind of hardcore gangster rap that was dominating.
That started around the same time, which I loved that. Yeah. I loved that you had 3 Feet High Out and Rising and you had Straight Outta Compton, which, you know, now we have, you can just look anyone up and know everything about them. But like when NWA came out, I thought Eazy-E was murdering people on the way to the studio. Like a part of me thought he would just shoot you. You know, I don't slang or bang. I just smoke motherfuckers like it ain't no thing. Like, and you're just a stone killer.
Yeah.
And they're all just running. They're just these absolute psychos. They're basically Vikings running around. And like, but then you learn Fuck the Police was written, despite what the movie tells us. They were just driving around with paint guns, shooting people with paint guns.
Right.
And the cops arrested. Like, yeah, they were fucking punks. Yeah. They were little assholes.
Teen punks. Yeah.
You know, and I mean, Ice Cube was obviously a genius writer. I mean, they were all, you know, and Ren were like great lyricists and stuff. And Dr. Dre's insanely gifted producer beyond the pale. But like, at the same time, they started this whole thing where everyone's like, oh, shit is real. This stuff is really real. It's like, it didn't start from where it was real. What are you talking about?
It's, yeah, the myth making that we need in our music.
Mm-hmm. We do love that. I think it's interesting, too, that, because they kind of get a little bit of a like conscious label, too, you know, and that people really give like conscious rap or conscious hip hop like a corny. People are like, oh, it's corny or whatever.
Totally.
But I mean,
a million people tried it, but like what you call conscious rap, and a lot of people were extremely corny and kind of boring. Mm-hmm. But that was like not their thing. It's kind of just happened. They were kind of like these guys that, in a sense, tagged along with De La Soul, and then kind of did their own thing.
Where were they all from? Is this New York?
New York.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
yeah.
They're from Queens.
Yeah, and like the same like neighborhood as Run DMC.
Yep.
Like it was all kind of from that same.
And now De La is not in the hall. Do you think they would ever get in?
I think so. It's a weird thing that like the hall has like, they'll put one hip hop artist on the ballot every year.
Right.
And often I think, I mean, they've done a good job with getting like Run DMC and Public Enemy and Tupac all got in their first year eligible. Right. So there's a good track record with that. And it seems like the whole reason for putting one artist on the ballot is to increase their chances of induction.
Yeah.
To not split the vote.
To keep the lane clear for each. And they do that kind of genre to genre. That's why we never see like The Cure and The Smiths on the same ballot.
Mm.
You know, it seems like they try to make the ballots diverse genre-wise in recent years.
And it's funny, like I feel like part of me almost, when I was giving like band ideas, almost wrote De La Soul, but I don't think they would have as much of a chance, even though they were, to me, more groundbreaking.
Yeah, because they came first.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
But, and that
and
album
they are
is,
also the only band that I think should be allowed to have skits on their rap album.
Yeah.
They're the only ones who pass the test for you.
That's literally it. Because them and then maybe like Good Kid, Mad City. Those are the two albums that I think the skits are okay in, and I don't even really like the ones in the Kendrick album. So,
yeah.
Well, and skits are...
That's the thing. It's like, you leave it up to me. It's like, I will take all the skits off of De La Soul Is Dead, and I love that album. But it was just like, after a while, you're just
But it's like, what are we doing here? I mean, I get it that we're trying to make a concept and we're trying to, you know, tell people a full story and a narrative, but...
It just doesn't hold up. One reason why Illmatic by Nas is an eternal classic is because it's just song, 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 song. That's it.
Mm-hmm.
And each song is different.
And it's not him and Jamie Foxx fucking around for three minutes, Kanye West.
And you know what that is? That's a lot of that is Prince Paul, because he's a genius producer and he produced all their stuff, but he loves skits. Loves them. Someone asked him to make a list of his favorite skits from rap albums. And he wholeheartedly was like, Evil for Zag and NWA's second album, he cited their skits because it's like the production level is so great. And it is. It's like watching a movie with your eyes closed, but they're all horribly disturbing. All of the skits on that album are so misogynistic and violent.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And it's just
God.
It's like, oh, you made it real. Now it feels real.
It feels horrible. And I
liked
it
before when it was like a movie or a documentary. Mm-hmm. Now I'm like there while it's happening. This is not good.
I fucking hate. So, and it's like, rap skits have ruined a lot of things for
a lot of things,
and a lot of stuff.
I just, well, just ruined. Like, you know, because exactly, it makes it real, and you're just like, God, that's so hateful and misogynistic mm-hmm. and violent, and it makes yep. me so sad, and I don't like it. I used to have a thing in my OKCupid profile
what?
About how I hate skits on rap albums, and the number of men who wrote me to tell me that $20 sack pyramid on the Chronic is a Stone Cold classic, and I am wrong. It, I mean, that exact skit. People
off. That was coming up.
That is the one.
We have to not only do the sexual harassment seminars in the workplace mm-hmm. and in schools and in all schools.
Of course,
we have to do seminars. We have to
yeah.
because
yeah.
men will not fucking stop. They will not stop.
It's a crisis level.
Oh my God! And it's like I get well actually'd from men, but it's always like, well, this dude thinks he's tough because of this, and like. Like, he only wants, like, I wrote a thing about this, how dumb that Street Pride parade idea was, and we all had a magnificent take on that, I'm sure.
Yeah.
But, like, it's a hack of medium and say anything about it, but this guy was just like, you know, it always gets a fight in my mentions, people. I never mm-hmm. respond, but then people will different follow yeah. the fight, and this guy was like, I'm just sick of dudes like this Bronner, misspelled my fucking name. He's like, puffing his chest out and saying he's for gay rights when 5 years ago he wouldn't have been. It's like, you know nothing about me. Nothing. But you're well actually-ing my life, which you know nothing about.
Perfect. For no reason to have your hot take.
The hubris of a basic, boring, fucking clown-ass white dude is beyond the pale that he will well actually another fucking clown, often yeah. boring uh-huh. white dude like myself.
yeah, we're at threat level.
It's bananas. And it's like when they could call out people for saying racist things, and they're always like, I'm not racist. Look at all my black friends. The point is, no, but what you said was racist. Maybe yeah. you're not, but you got to admit that what you said was pretty fucking racist. It's just like, look, we're not saying you're a douchebag that wants to tell women what to think. But you're well actuallying right
but
now.
But you're doing it.
You
but
are
you're
well actuallying.
You're literally making it that I don't know my own mind. You are telling yeah, right. me that I just must be misinformed
just
to have said this
take
thing
a second
that
and go,
I truly believe.
Should I hit send?
Mm-hmm. Also,
maybe I shouldn't.
Also, you trying to date me with that mess?
Oh,
you trying
man.
To come at right? me with $20 sack pyramid?
Oh.
No, my friends. Mm. No. Okay, so Tribe Called Quest
anyway,
is from
yeah, sorry.
New York.
De La Soul... I guess what I was getting at is
they're from Long Island.
There's kind of a log jam in terms of induction. If only one can get in each year,
yep.
maybe only one can be on the ballot,
and we get to these big superstars.
And we still don't have LL Cool J in, or like Eric B and Rakim,
yeah.
or Bambaataa, or I mean, like Tribe hasn't shown up on the ballot.
Hmm.
De La Soul hasn't shown up on the ballot. Wu-Tang hasn't shown up on the ballot. And we're going to get to these superstars that should be FYE, like Jay-Z, like Eminem is coming up in a few
yeah.
years.
Mm-hmm.
But like, do you sacrifice them to who do you put? It just becomes a bit of a logjam.
Right.
And then hopefully we'll get to a point where somehow you can put in more than one hip hop act in a year.
Yeah. Well, okay. So how many people get in a year? Like, what's the number?
It's five to six.
Five. But there were seven this year.
Oh, okay.
The seventh one was Janet Jackson.
Well, you can okay. put...
The seventh one that I was
I'm going
over.
To see Janet Jackson for my birthday in Las Vegas.
Oh, wow.
I'm so excited.
That's
yeah.
incredible.
Yeah.
That's so cool. I love her.
Yeah, my wife knows me. She knows what I... She's yeah. like, she's like,
she knows what
would
I like.
You want to go to... Like, because Las Vegas is much more her bag, which she's kind of like, well, we are going to my favorite place, and it's not... I mean, I like Las Vegas, but my wife is a craps demon, but like...
Mm-hmm. Oh.
It's fun if you're ever in town while we're in town. You
that's
should
my
just,
favorite game. That's the only game I like to play
yeah,
in Vegas.
Pretty much same.
It's very fun.
I mean,
yeah.
blackjack bores me. Just takes too long.
Yeah,
craps is like
craps
an event.
Is exciting.
Oh,
and there's
start,
always something happening. There's many ways to bet.
And if I've
there's
you
many
know,
ways to win.
If I've got hit the buzzed point where I'm like, you know, feeling groovy, I just get a hot hand, and it's the weirdest thing. And mm-hmm. I'll get everyone's name wrong. You know, this one's yeah. for you, Roger. It's Andy. Okay. Click, click.
Throw it.
But yeah, so we're going.
Go
so
see
I'm
that'll be beautiful.
So,
okay, so yes. Tribe.
Well, so the thing is, there's not really any published criteria of why someone gets into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
Yes.
Which can be frustrating when you try to evaluate these things. But as a dork for this kind of stuff, I've put together a list of criteria that I think if you do well, you have a good shot of getting into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
Right on.
And we are going to evaluate A Tribe Called Quest on this criteria.
Based on Joe's 5-point system.
On my special point system.
After a little break.
Ooh.
So we'll be right back.
Hey, Pantheon listeners, Christian Swain here, taking a break from listening to a little Shout It Out Loudcast episode. Love Tom and Zeus talking all things Kiss. Of course, I was listening to them on my new Raycon wireless earbuds. They have quickly become my go-to earbuds because of the comfort. These soft tips are the best I've ever used. And at this price, plus a Pantheon discount, Raycon is really hitting on all marks. Sound quality is great too. I really love having these three EQ options because I like more bass in the music, but less in my podcast. 8 hours of playtime for the battery is great as well. Surround sound, noise isolating, and awareness mode are all included. These are great earbuds. Go to buyraycon.com/pantheon today to get 20% off your Raycon order plus free shipping. That's right, you'll get 20% off and free shipping at buyraycon.com/pantheon. buyraycon.com/pantheon.
Welcome back, everybody. I think we got a little bit of the whisper in there. Kristen was whispering softly into the microphone. I hope you enjoyed your break.
I hope during your break you discovered a new thing to like.
And That's good advice.
And yeah. Maybe check in with us. Let us know what it is.
What is the newest thing that you discover you like? That you've discovered you'd like. I do want to know that. I care and I want to know.
Yeah, at KStud on Twitter.
At me.
Blow her up.
Do it.
All right.
At me, bro.
So,
I dare you.
A Tribe Called Quest. I quickly, before we get into these categories, I was watching, there's a documentary called Beats, Rhymes, and Life.
I have not seen it, and I instead watched the stupid Ice-T rap documentary. I can't believe I still haven't seen the Tribe documentary.
You got your wires crossed. It's directed by Michael Rapaport, which is funny.
Yeah.
In like the first 5 minutes of that movie.
That's just so, of course it is.
Yeah, right.
Well, it's funny because he is, you know, kind of a brash, loud, crazy
kind
New Yorker
of?
Guy. I guess I'm being kind. He's a brash, loud New Yorker guy who sometimes I totally agree with, sometimes I totally disagree with, but like, you know his opinion. But he kind of, I won't say dug them out of obscurity, but he was like, it's one of those things where everyone I know who knows music is like, oh yeah, Tribe, the fucking best. But like, they haven't really gotten the recognition in general, to the point where they're not even doing big shows, and like broke up when he like does that thing. So him making it is kind of a fascinating story as you watch it.
And he was helping to focus the lens back on this group that deserved more.
Perfect.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
In the first 5 minutes of the documentary, you see it's the last show of this tour that was really difficult for them because Five Dog and Q-Tip were fighting a lot.
Yeah.
And tensions were running high. It was the last show. And Rapaport keeps asking Q-Tip, he's like, is this the last show? Like, is this it? Is this done? And he says, that's it. We're not going to perform again. The only time we'll ever perform again is if we get into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
Really?
It's in like the first 5 minutes of the documentary.
What?
So it's like, it's,
I forgot all about that.
It's on his mind. It's like, it's fully, he's thinking about it. Like he would reunite. What's funny is
now,
they show you that they end up reuniting after that show anyway.
Yeah.
Well, and we know that they have had an album since
And they
then,
made the most amazing album.
Yeah.
That 2016 album is one of my
unbelievably
favorites.
It's very, very good.
And it's like eternal. It's like their first or second album. It's just like, oh, well, this one will live forever.
Yeah. Yeah. So let's go through the categories here. The first one is critical acclaim. And I don't know that I could think of a hip-hop group that has more critical acclaim.
No, totally.
Like, critics went fucking bananas for this group.
Yep.
In a way that's, like, almost over the top. Like, reading some of those, and I kind of knew that already just because they're very highly regarded, but reading some of the, especially those first three albums, the reviews and like across the board, Rolling Stone, NME, Village Voice, like everyone's like, oh, music is different now. I'm different.
Yes.
like it is.
This is an album that's making me cooler. Hi, my name is Dan. The whole thing's about a white dude just talking about his life.
But truly, like the critical acclaim is off the charts for Tribe, I think.
Yes.
And then if you look at, so one of the ways we can kind of determine this, it bleeds into the next category, which is classic albums. Do they have classic albums?
Yeah.
And I would say those first three in particular.
Yep.
People's Instinctive Travels, Low End Theory, and then Midnight Marauders mm-hmm. are all bona fide classics.
Yep.
Do you guys think that any of their albums wound up on Rolling Stone's top 500?
Yes, I do. How many do I think? Two.
I'm going to go with just one because mm-hmm. only five, but it's a definitely Low End Theory.
Low End Theory is definitely in.
So yes, Low End Theory is their is the sole one. Album on there. Where on the 500 do you think it is?
325.
I'm going to go, for some reason, 212 is sticking out in my brain.
Okay. So
Low End. 212, New York, baby.
There we go.
They're fitting.
That's what it, wow.
Fitting. No, the... The Low End Theory comes in at
147.
153.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. I knew it as soon as I was like, I went too low.
Right.
I went too low. I'm pretty good at guessing where it is in the list.
Oh, right on.
Yeah. Although if we got the 500th one last
week. On the songs?
Yeah.
Yeah. More Than a Feeling was 500.
The 500th of the 500
songs. yeah, but 153, which is a great showing, especially for a list that is mostly like 60s and 70s, like Dylan-y shit. Yeah. So classic albums for sure. And I mean, then it starts to go off the rails a little bit with Beats Rhymes Life, and then nobody's going for the Love Movement.
It's funny. I have a friend who likes Love Movement better than Beats Rhymes and Life, and I'm kind of the other way around. But it's also I don't care too much about either one of them.
Yeah.
They were both really disappointing and disjointed. They obviously weren't cohesive at that point.
But then that 2016 album is really, really great. Thank you for your service.
We'll take it from here.
Yeah.
It's so good.
That's a really, I mean, I want to say improbable. Like the fact
Absolutely.
That they were able to do that, especially given all the tensions within the group and that they were just so many things lined up and ended up being extremely politically relevant.
Yes.
Yes.
That it you know, so much, especially that song, We
Did
the People.
Did they perform at the Grammys? Was it the Grammys
they
or
performed,
the MTV Movie or Music so, Awards or the VMAs?
Here's, I think, their most important performance of that time was they did the first SNL after the election.
Oh, yeah.
When Chappelle was hosting and it was Tribe.
Yeah.
And like it felt like everybody was watching SNL to see like, what are they going to fucking do?
Yeah.
Because the election had been on Tuesday.
Yeah.
God. I'm my insides are tightening, remembering mm-hmm. that moment in time.
I'd flown back from England. My wife was still in England. And she's like, just call me in the middle of the night. Tell me who wins. I had to call.
No.
I had to wake her up.
Oh my God.
And she was like, bullshit. Like hung up on me. Like she thought I was fucking with her or something. Like, so it's like,
yeah,
you got to wake up to this. And like I remember when I was in backpacking through Europe and we had a W and like everyone I met was like, fuck you Americans, what have you done?
Mm-hmm.
Everyone in England that day was just like, are you all right? Like they're like grabbing her by the shoulders.
Sure.
Like,
well, they had just gone through Brexit.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. So they were a little more sympathetic maybe.
Anyway, back to the SNL.
But yeah, just the fact that like days after the election, Tribe is on SNL singing. All you black folks, you must go.
Boy, we hate your way.
It was like the most, because they had been booked obviously before then.
Yeah.
They didn't book them on the night of the election. It just ended up being like a really relevant and great performance. And also it's that whole album is extremely heartfelt because Fife Dog passed away during the making of it.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a moment in that performance where they like unsheath like a canvas and it's his, they're playing his part of the song as it's like a painting of him.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, it's powerful.
Yeah.
It's like really moving.
And I think them getting together and kind of going like, well, what was the point of any of this? Let's just get back to what we like to make. Mm-hmm. Because the fourth and the fifth album were kind of like, they're probably just making it to make it and being like, well, this will probably make people happy or something. And I mm-hmm. guess it, you know, it's kind of almost when you're writing jokes, you think people laugh at that you don't like. You know, they, yeah. like, it's always a bad, anytime like rap artists make like, well, I guess I should make one love song. And it's always the worst song on the album. You know, this will go on the radio and it never does.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. That was, that they performed on the Grammys that year though.
Yeah.
Well,
they had like all these people on stage.
Okay. Really I remember that.
Because it was because
groups.
They had this like Grammys so white the year before and they yeah. just were like, well, we're mm-hmm. going to.
Hard in the other
we're
direction.
Going, yes. We're turning. Yes. Mm-hmm. I remember seeing their performance on that and being like, shit, this new album is good.
Mm-hmm. So this connects to the next category, which is iconic, recognizable songs, where, you know, if you don't have a ton of songs that everybody knows, you know, or at the very least the casual music fan.
Yeah.
Can
I kick it?
So I think there's like three from scenario. That, especially from that first album that are maybe their most recognizable, which is Can I Kick It?
Can I Kick It? Can I kick it?
Yes, you can.
Can I kick it?
Yes, you can.
Can I kick it?
Yes, you can.
Can I kick it?
Bonita Applebum.
Bonita Applebum, you gotta put me on. Bonita Applebum, I said you gotta put me on. Bonita Applebum, gotta put me on. Bonita Applebum, I said you gotta put me on.
And I left my wallet in El Segundo.
Yeah, I left my wallet in El Segundo. Left my wallet in El Segundo. I gotta get it. I got to get it.
But Scenario.
Scenario's second album.
Yeah, yeah. But that's Scenario.
Scenario,
like,
I think, is their most recognizable song.
Okay.
Here we go, yo. Here we go, yo. So what's the scenario? Here we go, yo. Here we go, yo. So what's the scenario?
It may be a tie between Scenario and Can I Kick It would be the two. Yeah. I would think that.
I maybe think those first, the three that I mentioned, just because they say those words a lot. Like,
yeah, but whereas you know, Bonita Applebaum is
but
not
like,
one
I left
you
my
hear
wallet
anymore.
Is a bad song.
It's barely a song.
I don't like it.
I mean, it's him just like narrating that, you know, Fife was drinking fruit punch and he was having enchiladas.
Yeah, it's. I just don't like the rhythm of that song. I never did.
Well,
it's like
to me,
it's a catchy
two are
name.
Not mm-hmm. like those are songs like people. Those are to me secondary.
Yeah.
Bonita Applebaum and El Segundo are like secondary.
I would say Electric Relax. Station too.
Shorty, let me tell you about my only vice. It has to do with lots of loving, and it ain't nothing nice.
Let yourself go, he said.
It ain't nothing nice.
Let yourself go, he said.
It ain't nothing nice.
Award tour.
Yes. I think is probably their most recognizable because it was in that fucking Bud Light commercial. It was in a Budweiser commercial.
This is why this is interesting to me because they don't exactly land in this category completely.
Yes.
But from person to person, they do
mm-hmm.
in a sense. We all have differential
and you almost choices. You almost have to, especially if someone who's not a fan, you have to play the song to go like, oh, you do know this song.
Yes, yes.
He's like, oh yeah, that does sound familiar. Okay, I didn't know.
Yeah.
And then what's it? Check the Rhyme? Is that?
Yeah,
oh, check the rhyme. Of course.
Yeah.
Days on the boulevard I landed. We used to kick routines and the presence was fitting. It was I, the abstract.
And me, the 5-footer. I kicks the mad style, so step off the Frankfurter.
I would throw that
is definitely
well.
But
top,
I just
top
feel
10,
like, it, you know, for most people, Scenario and Can I Kick It? Because those are ones that, like, would be on at a party that you would have heard. Award tour, it's weird that I can almost even see the stupid, because it was like a speedboat in the Budweiser commercial.
Well, but really if you sad. Listen to
so
like, if you'd like
up.
Talk to like, you know, like big hip hop heads, you know, bugging out for sure.
Yo, microphone check 1-2. What is this? The 5-foot assassin with the roughneck business. I float like gravity. Never had a cavity. Got more rhymes than the one that's got family. No need to sweat Arsenio to gain some type of fame. No shame in my game, cause I always be the same. Styles upon styles is what I have.
Yeah, because it's just so iconic. But mm-hmm. it's just, I mean, it kind of goes down to your favorites. Because I only thought of that because you were like, what you would hear at a party. And I'm like, well, I'm thinking of like five different parties where I'm hearing like five different songs.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
Five different vibes. Yeah. For sure. Yeah. I think that's true. It's like, it kind of goes from person to person, and then you can start to get into like favorites and stuff. Like, I don't think it's recognizable. I think one of the Excursions is one of the best.
Oh, I was thinking about that in the bathroom of how, like, it's just, I remember when that rolling bass line came on as a kid and going, how are they going to put a beat over this? Oh, that's how. They'll exactly match it.
Perfect
beat layer.
Back in the days when I was a teenager, before I had status and before I had a pager, you can find the abstract. Listening to hip hop, my pops used to say it reminded him of bebop. I said, well, daddy, don't you know that things go in cycles? Way the Bobby Brown is just amping like Michael. It's all expected. Things are for the looking. If you got the money, quest is for the booking. Come on, everybody.
Next category is commercial success, which is like for a group like this to be as successful as they were commercially. I mean, given that they were like artistic, you know, alone.
Yeah, they're like more commercially successful than De La Soul, for example.
Yeah.
But they also sold to Budweiser. I guess what I meant,
but they never really got that much commercial success. They got way more acclaim. It's always that thing.
That,
when hip hop critics, not at all. When music critics like love you, mm-hmm. usually are not that big.
Yeah.
Right. The scales definitely tip in favor. But
Q-tip.
Hey.
The Q-tips. Beats Rhymes Life went to number one. It was a number one album.
Oh, it did?
Yeah, it did. Which it's like, that's the one
that
I would imagine,
just
purely out of anticipation.
Yes, absolutely.
You know?
So it was like they had gained enough of a following, and then finally when that came out, and it's, you know, one of their
lesser albums. I don't think I've literally ever listened to any songs on this.
Well, and I was just incredibly stoned and partying a lot back then, because I remember when I listened to the album being like, this is so good, and then as you know, days went by like, it was akin to watching The Phantom Menace in a movie theater.
Boy,
I want to love this.
Yeah, it's been so long. I've been waiting for it. All my favorite characters are back, and oh no.
So the first album went gold. Low End Theory eventually went platinum. So did Midnight Marauders, and then Beats, Rhymes, and Life went platinum, and then the other two after that went gold. So like those are good numbers, you know.
Yeah, they are.
That, you know, they had million selling albums.
I think, too, this idea like of their popularity or whatever, it's like they're culturally important, like people know who they are, but it's weird because Q-Tip has become, he is such a, he's like a public figure. Hmm. Like, you know, maybe if you don't even know Tribe Called Quest, but you've like seen Q-Tip before, or you know who he is. Am I crazy, or is that just
maybe
me?
I mean, he shows up in a lot of other people's songs.
Yeah, he shows up in a lot of other people's songs, and like I feel like Vibrant Thing kind of had a moment.
Vibrant thing.
Yeah,
such a vibrant.
Maybe it was in another. But yeah, he's on Grooves in the Heart. Exactly.
Get with it. Can't think, quit it. Stomp on a stoop when I hear funk group. Blue playing pop pipe. Follow her to shoot. Baby, just sing about the groove. Sing it. The groove
is in. He's like if Flava Flav wasn't not like, I just mean like as far as like notability, like you really did.
I don't want that comparison.
Joe was like, how fucking dare
try
you?
Again.
I would never. I don't mean talent.
No, I know what you mean.
I mean like as far as like being a pluckable member from a group that is notable. That
he's
know
the
who
name,
he is,
he's
whether
the face.
Or not they know.
For sure, he's the leader.
He's the leader.
Yeah, and he had just had such a an incredibly unique listenable voice that was also kind of weird, that it kind of, it almost like Be Real and Cypress Hill, you're like, that voice is bananas. So there were people that were like, oh, be on my album, come hang out, you know. Which I'm sure he wasn't no problem with, obviously. Likes being in the spotlight. But
I wonder if Busta Rhymes would ever get in. I mean he's the second tier, I guess. We gotta get other people in, but he's got the best verse on Scenario, I guess, is what I'm thinking.
Well, that's what made him a star, without a doubt.
Yes, that's an interesting, my relationship with this group was that I came to, I'm a little younger than you guys, so I came to Tribe later, but I knew about Busta Rhymes
right
when I was in like sixth grade.
I mean,
grade.
I'm also younger than Pronger, just to, I want that to be
everyone
clear.
Everyone is.
I want that to be clear.
Yes.
I am younger.
Please.
Okay.
Obviously. I knew the Eagles.
Of this situation.
They were some dicks.
Knew them personally.
They wouldn't let me join the band.
Wait, sorry. So how did you come to this band?
So, I mean, I knew about Busta Rhymes. I did not know that he was kind of birthed from Tribe in a sense,
yeah.
that like they kind of gave him his like spotlight in a
big way.
Well,
he was in a group called Leaders of the New School that I remember when that album came out, the album was pretty whatever, but like that song Case of the PTA, like I was in school and it was just about fucking off in school and I was like, this is great. And this guy has like a kind of a gravelly voice. Then when he did Scenario, you're like, oh, who are you now? Yeah. Oh, you are beyond. You just eclipsed
so
everybody. You know, and then he became like this monster where I remember around college when he did Woo-ha and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, okay, now he's like a mythical figure. He's like a griffin.
Mm-hmm.
Like he's not a man. You know,
yeah.
he kind of comes and just screams. And I remember I made a friend of mine laugh really hard about like Mobb Deep was great because they're very atmospheric and scary and like they just seem like they kind of like easy. They would just calmly shoot you and walk away.
Mm-hmm.
But I was like, you have them battle Busta Rhymes. He's going to come on stage and be like, ah, and everyone's going to be like, oh shit, a dragon. You know, because you know,
yeah.
So he's like he was beyond. But that's a good point. Like, I wonder if he'd have consideration.
I wonder if he could. I mean, just because to me, he's very skilled. He's always the best verse on anything that he's in,
yeah.
generally.
Yeah, it's just like, when is the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame going to get to a point where they're not considering hip-hop acts who aren't like giant, iconic
right.
acts?
Yeah.
You know, maybe acts that are still deserving
mm-hmm.
the way that, you know, like who's the Electric Light Orchestra of hip hop?
Is it Busta Rhymes?
Yeah,
is
like consistent it? And good, but not the Beatles.
Well, and also just he has always kind of been around in a way mm-hmm. where it's like, and not to be mean if you're listening, Busta, but like we're to the point where we're people like really checking for him, but he's still there. You know, he's still doing stuff. Like mm-hmm. him coming back on the latest Tribe album was incredible.
Cause
you're like, oh, this is perfect. Cause you guys are so good together. But if he came out with some solo song, I might be like, eh, all right, Busta.
He made me like, I hate Chris Brown with a fiery, burning passion.
Sure.
But he has.
Why? Just kidding.
But he has an incredible verse on a fucking Chris Brown song. And it's just like, why are you going to do this? Why are you going to like withhold?
Why are you going to do this to my heart?
Why are you going to do this to me? It's
that
very
sucks.
Upsetting to me, but I come to Tribe through ex-boyfriends, as a lot of music that I talk about on this is like, and I come to it through an ex of mine who was older than me, who had come up. I was probably about the same age as you, Bronger, because I'm younger
than
you.
It was me, Kristen.
Wow.
This is really weird.
Wait a second.
Your disassociation is so
Kristen, put your
so strange.
On.
Wait a minute. And I can't, so I kind of retroactively came to Tribe too through an ex of mine and like learning that. And so I came in through like Low End Theory, but this was mm-hmm. in the 2000s that I got into Tribe. It was probably 2006 when I got into Tribe.
But I love that. I love that people got into this album that I knew when it came out. And who, quite frankly, a lot of songs I was like, whoa, it takes me a second to wrap my head around this.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that you found it then. And it's like, oh, this is, I like that it's still good, that it's always going to be good. It's kind of like you want to make timeless stuff, not timely stuff.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of their stuff is, of course, timely, but a lot of it is timeless. It's so funny. My high school girlfriend, who I was just in love with, when I was a senior
it
in high school,
it was me.
Right.
Was you? You were much
put
younger,
on your
and
glasses.
I'm so glad they didn't catch me. No, and to be honest, we just held hands. We weren't really dating, but you were in fourth grade.
Keep going.
Why not? Just keep digging this hole.
Yeah.
But she, I remember we were in the gym, and people were like playing basketball and stuff, and Low End Theory was playing, and Jazz we've got from the album mm-hmm. playing, really atmospheric, very cool song, and she's like, I don't know how you can listen to this. And I was like, like something in me just broke.
It's over.
Yep.
You know? No, I was stuck on her. She could have, I'm sure I'd have been like, no, it's not. I know I didn't. I remember, but I would have in a minute would have been like, yeah, I don't like him anymore either. Do you still like me?
Do anything.
Oh, I was nuts about her.
That's so funny.
Oh.
The next category is longevity.
We're still talking about. I mean, they put out a 2016.
That's
album.
Yeah. That does a good. You know, I mean, it was they were around for the 90s.
Yeah.
Pretty much. You know, their first album was 90. The Love Movement was 98. So they were around and putting out work that people were listening to for pretty much that whole decade.
Yeah.
And then the fact that they were able to come back in 2016 with something that was relevant and sounded great and people listened to and it made a mark. Next category is innovation influence. I feel like we've kind of already talked about it.
Absolutely.
But it was just that, like, yeah, obviously this was coming in with like a new sound and a new approach and very innovative and certainly very influential. They have so many very public, famous fans who are more famous than them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, from Kanye to Pharrell to Outkast.
Mm-hmm. Snoop.
Yeah. Yeah. Anybody, it feels like, wanted to do, who, I mean, I bet they inspired a lot of people to pick up a mic.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. Well, 'cause it provided a certain level of accessibility where just like how you see someone who's kind of effortlessly funny and people go, oh, I could be a comedian, I can do that, and it's like, no, you can't. And it's right. kind of like watching like Q-Tip and Fife. Yeah. It seemed so natural to them, it seemed like that's just how they talk kind of thing, but it's like mm-hmm. they put so much work into it, and they were like every people.
Yes.
Yeah.
And you're like, and then you look at them, you're like, I can flow. And it's like, no, you can't.
No, not even not even a little bit.
You cannot.
Last category, perhaps the most important category, does my mom know them?
Does she?
And ooh. She does not.
Yeah, I don't think my mom knows no. Tribe either. My mom is at my house right now. I can text her.
And that's maybe the biggest hurdle for them.
Yes.
Is like that.
Generation.
Mom recognition, yeah. that like
that
general recognition.
That is right.
If you can't break through that, you might have a hard time.
Right.
Yeah, I don't think my mom is going to know them. And my mom is pretty cool.
Little bit of irony I just thought of. Public Enemies in the Hall, Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
Mm-hmm.
Tribe has a song called Pubic Enemy about sexually communicated diseases.
Well, wow.
Yep.
Well, boy, howdy.
Yep. First album.
Let's do our verdict.
Oh.
Should Tribe be in the Hall? Will they be in the Hall?
And when
will they be inducted? Kristen?
Girl, you know that Tribe Called Quest should be in the Hall. You also know, I think they're going to be in the Hall.
Mm-hmm.
I think that we got some hurdles to get through. I think it's not going to make sense, the order in which, but I do think that... Oh, gosh. Now, here's the thing, because they could get on the ballot and not get in because of that mom factor, because of the recognizability of them to mm-hmm. the Hall. So when the Hall gets a little more diverse, I think it's going to take time. You know, I want it to be sooner, but I think we're looking at 10 years. I want it to be sooner, but I really do. I think we are going to clear out some others. I think like Eminem is going to be in before they're in.
I think so too.
Now, here's the question is, will Kid Rock be in before they're in?
Oh my God.
You know what I mean? Whoa. I mean, like, you never fucking know mm-hmm. with this weird institution. So I think we're looking at closer towards 8 to 10 years.
Okay.
Very specific. Much to my chagrin. And that's what I think.
Great. Matt, what do you think?
I think, I definitely should be in. I'll vote with my heart. I say they will be in.
Mm-hmm.
I would go, and this is based on literally nothing, 5 years.
Okay.
I would say 5 years in. And because I just had a terrible thought that I will share, that it's sad, but I think the fact that they lost a member helps them.
Yeah.
And I think that's, I mean,
if Tupac
was alive today, I don't think he'd be in. I think Tupac was an incredibly talented person, but. Some of the people we've named is just like should be in before he is. I'm not saying he shouldn't be in.
Yeah, but he would have gotten in, but maybe not this quickly.
Right.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. And
although I'm like, what would Tupac be doing today? Like,
as soon as I said that, I was like, what would he look like?
I'm like, what would he look like? What kind of music would he be?
Would he be like kind of paunchy, like Busta?
I think Chris Rock said this, and I agree with it, which is he'd be on Law and Order.
You are so fucking right.
Like he'd be on NCIS. Genius.
And also because he's a great genius. And he's also such a great he was a great actor.
So true.
He was a good actor, but like that's where a lot of those guys wound up.
Yeah. Well,
not that he was a good actor, like he was a good actor, but he was an actor.
Yeah.
And that's one reason he was such a good rapper, because he can mm-hmm. inhabit that
in that character
so much.
Yeah.
You know.
All right.
I think that They absolutely should. And I think they will. I think once you get past the those iconic, what will probably be FYEs like Jay-Z and Eminem, the groups that are coming after that, and LL needs to get in. It's weird because he's such a foundational guy.
Right.
And he rocks the bells and he rolls them.
Exactly. You take a muscle-bound man and put his face in the sand.
It's weird given how famous he is and how our moms know who he is, but he has still struggled to get in.
Hey, speaking of, my mom texted me back, guys, and she said, nope.
Yep. Yep. Just as we suspected.
Yeah. You know what? I didn't even bother texting my mother because I'm sure she doesn't. I'm sure I would be like, you know, when like Jam Master Jay was murdered, she was like, wasn't he in, you liked his group, right? Like, I know.
Right. Yeah. The thing is, I think Tribe will be one of the first groups once we get past those like obvious, like more slam dunks.
Yeah.
It's like after that, then it's like them, and it's like, I think Wu-Tang.
Yeah.
Outkast.
Yeah, Outkast for sure. Good they God. Will probably get in before Tribe.
Biggest duo of all time in hip hop, without
a doubt. Yeah, you could make an argument beyond hip hop.
Yeah,
no, without
so,
a doubt.
You know, yeah, they're a doubt. So iconic and influential. Yeah.
And you know
like
what?
Somebody
know
out there is just repping for Dipset right now. They're very mad.
Sure, they're furious. You know, but I feel like Dipset's way too cool to even be considered, and too much. They're too insane.
That will never happen.
I think that they're going to be inducted. I think 10 is about right. They might get on the ballot before then.
I could see them being on the ballot and not getting in.
They've been eligible since 2016.
Oh, wow. I would still stick with 5 because the Zombies are in, right?
Mm-hmm.
Zombies are in the
it
Hall
took
of Fame.
Yes,
they got in
years.
This year.
Yeah. Good
right?
point.
How many
because
years?
They were eligible for
okay,
about
well, then
30
it's probably
years.
More to your point than mine. And it probably will be 10 years because they are in certain ways. The Tribe is like the Zombies or the Kinks. You know, they're not as big as the Beatles, but there are people that are like, oh, but have you heard them? Holy fucking shit.
They are secretly the best.
Right. Yeah. Yes.
Yeah, they're not the Stones or the Beatles, but they're like, look into this.
Yeah,
shit.
They're very much the Kinks, mm-hmm. I believe.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And how long did it take the Kinks to get it?
They, FYE.
Oh.
Yeah. But that's also
but
the,
that's like right
in
the pocket of of what
absolutely.
You're looking for.
We both said
in the
same
voting.
Thing, in the bag, in the pocket. They were in the satchel. So I think, let's say they get in. Let's say Tribe gets in. I think it's pretty obvious which members get in. There were only really, I mean, you induct Q-Tip, Fife Dog, Ali, Shahid Muhammad, the DJ, and then Jarobia. You throw Jarobia in there.
Yeah, sure. He's in the group.
And that's essentially, you don't throw Consequence was never really a part of
Not
Tribe.
Not really.
And I think those are the four that you put in. I don't think there's really much discussion there.
Right.
Who inducts them? Who gives the speech?
Good question.
Pharrell?
So, yeah, I when we talked about the influence, the names like Kanye and Pharrell... Yeah, Andre 3000, like those are...
I got to say, I think Kristen nailed it. I think it's
Pharrell.
I
think it's Pharrell because of massive, massive popularity, mm-hmm. Recognition for the young and the old.
But imagine if they could get Kanye.
That's, God.
Which is like, that. Then it becomes a question of, is that too far for the Hall to reach or to acquire?
And also, is that a giant pair of dice to roll? Because him getting on stage and going, I nominate me. You know, like, hey, man, you can't do that.
Yeah. Well, he'll be in before they're in.
Ooh, I wonder. Think. It'll be close.
What's his nominee? When is he eligible?
When was his first album? Was it like 2004?
I forget. Mm-hmm. That's
around
right,
there, right? So then it would be 2029
or 2030.
So
he's an FYE for sure.
If, the thing is, though, but what about
if we've come that far at that point? You know what
you
I mean?
You just wonder about
if the Hall hasn't imploded and stopped, like. If they weren't just like, yeah, no, we don't like how diverse.
Yeah.
Like, I want, you know, like, okay, let's see.
And there's candidates for inducting Tribe.
Yeah, like, College Dropout was 2004.
Okay, so it would be 2030. We got some time. Busta would be fun, but like, I just think he's not as famous as they want for those inductor speeches.
Mm-hmm.
And then like, there's some weird choices too. I mean, like Chappelle would be interesting.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, that's true. It doesn't have to be a musician.
Oh yeah. Plenty of like comedians, radio, television personalities have been inductors.
I think Jack White was on the 2016 album. That would be... an interesting
That would be a
choice.
Very Rock Hall move.
But that would also, yeah. It feels like erasure.
Yeah, to, for sure. Yeah, that's definitely erasure.
Speaking of erasure, will they ever get...
Latifah was part of that crew, the Native Tongues crew.
That's true. I forgot about that. Yeah. So in Black Sheep, they were also in there.
She is hella famous.
But Queen Latifah is like, yeah, super famous. That would be an interesting choice. All right, let's say they get inducted. What three songs does Tribe play?
They play Kick It and Scenario for sure.
I would say Kick It for sure.
Scenario is maybe too many people.
No, it'd be so great. And then they get everyone. They get a whole bunch of new rappers on stage to come out with them.
That's
and
great.
Have Busta there. And
that's
have an
my
excuse
thought.
To
you get Busta
unite.
Out there.
Sure.
And then you get like whoever's the hot new young rappers out there too. Like... You really just like set it off. Maybe you get some women. I'm just like that.
I think Can I Kick It makes a lot of sense, especially from that first album.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I think We the People
and,
is an interesting choice.
Yeah, I would say We the People
to make it like a full arc,
like to mm-hmm. end with because it's so powerful.
Yeah.
But I think they would probably start with it and then end with Can I Kick It, cut to all of all the white people going, yes, you can, in the audience,
sure.
making mm-hmm. embarrassing rap hands.
Yeah, see like, Jan Wenner go, yes, you can.
Yeah, like I think that's... To me, that's where the shot is.
I also think Tribe is... they could... easily do a medley.
Yeah.
Yep, for
Cause,
sure.
Because like songs like I Left My Wallet and Bonita Applebum are repetitive, but in a medley...
You put little bits in.
You'd be like, oh,
I like
this
that.
Is cool.
Fun medley.
Yeah.
Fun.
Award tour, I think, also.
Yeah.
Yeah, but they could really... They could put together quite a set. Does anyone stand in for Fife Dog?
I think, you know, they get whoever's young and cool to do it. Or they get
off the street.
Or they get like
cool.
a Kendrick. Do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like
no,
they
I know
get
exactly what you
they
mean.
Get somebody either like a legend to do it, or they get the like next generation to do it. That's what
That's
I
a
think.
Nice idea. No, yeah. But I think even if they just play a track, play the track of him doing it, and
they
thing,
unfurl,
do a similar thing.
Unfurl a picture
yeah.
of him.
Sure. That's really you know. Sweet.
Yeah.
If they get inducted, will you go with us?
Maybe
Matt?
Michael Rappaport
sure.
inducts them.
Why not? Oh, and you know what else? I think
Rappaport is an interesting.
If they just play Fife's thing, like what Q2 is, he's like everyone rap along, and everyone raps Fife's part.
Yeah,
and then we cut to Jan Wenner
mumbling and like looking around, like I don't know. And exactly. Well, if they get inducted, we'll see you there, Matt.
Sounds good.
Thank you for being a part of our show.
This is fun. Great idea.
Wowie Zowie. There we go. There's the episode from 2019 about A Tribe Called Quest with our buddy Matt Bronger. And that'll do it. We'll be back next week and hopefully the next few weeks with some new episodes. And you know where to find us at Rock Hall Pod on Twitter and Instagram. You can email us rockhallpod@gmail.com. Subscribe to us on Apple Podcasts. Do all that stuff. Tweet something nice. I don't know. That'd be cool. And you know, thanks to Mike Lloyd for the logo, Yusuf Kim for the music, and thank you to Pantheon Podcast for hosting us. I'm Joe Quazala, saying by myself, who cares about the Rock Hall?
It's NFL draft season, and that means it's time to start thinking about fantasy football. FantasyPoints.com features industry-leading experts and prognosticators using proprietary hand-charted data to help you score more fantasy points. FantasyPoints.com is the place to go for whatever kind of fantasy football you play. Whether you play fantasy football, daily fantasy sports, or do a little bit of everything, Fantasy Points has the meticulously researched content to guide you to victory. And why wait for the fall? Fantasy Points also covers the new spring football league, the UFL. Join the guru, John Hansen, Scott Barrett, Joe Dolan, and other massive names in the fantasy football universe with an exclusive offer. Use code Pantheon for 15% off any Fantasy Points package, including the all-in package, with access to every article, tool, and data nugget that Fantasy Points has to offer. That's FantasyPoints.com and code Pantheon for 15% off at Fantasy Points. FantasyPoints.com, code Pantheon. Score more fantasy points.